and welcome to episode 142 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you to the outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics. If there's anything you'd like to hear about more, let us know. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, and Lindsay. One of the things we love about travel is discovering new destinations and having an authentic experience. But how do you know when, quote, living by like a local is actually hurting things? We saw an interesting photo recently that was posted in Lisbon, Portugal, about some unintended consequences of using Airbnb. And before long, people were chiming in about similar situations in other cities. This is just one example. So this week, we wanted to give you some tips on being a mindful traveler. So let's get started. So what kind of things can we do to make sure that we're leaving less of a, for lack of a better word, a better carbon footprint in our towns?
So there's an old saying about travel, take only pictures and leave only footprints. Is that the, it's quaint, but it's true. You sort of should always go into a place knowing that it doesn't belong to you, and anything you touch, mm-hmm. anything you affects that piece of history or piece of art or whatever it happens to be that you're looking at, or a piece of coral for that matter.
It reminds me of, I listened to this one radio person called Michael Smirkanish, and he was just in London, and he was talking about how anytime he's out of the country, he tries to be extra polite, you know, always more pleases, more thank yous, to really kind of, you know, because you're in their house, you're in someone else's place. Mm-hmm. But the thing that got me thinking about this was the Airbnb photo, because there was somebody had posted, they had, you know, gone to Portugal, and basically it was a flyer that had been put up that said to, you know, think about when you want to live like a local, what it's doing is it's driving up the property values. And so residents who have been there a long time are they're losing their leases and they're having to move out of the city areas. So it turns out that it's not the authentic little neighborhood anymore, because it's only really tourists that live there and people trying to make money off of them. So, you know, it's kind of like how Uber totally disrupted the taxi cab industry. And, you know, I think kind of they found a balance now, or they're starting to find more of a balance, but it's one of those things you got to think about whenever you go somewhere and, you know.
Well, and I think sometimes people don't realize the impact it's going to have, not just in the immediate, in the place that they're visiting, but even in your own local area. I mean, if you're utilizing these vacation rental properties, because it's not just mom and pop places that own Airbnb. Big corporations have now bought up huge areas and buildings that used to be individually owned that are now being used specifically for this purpose. And eventually it does all come back around to it's a circle. And, you know, you might think you're saving a little bit of money or making a little bit of money, but when you go back to I live on an island where this is a major issue right now, where most of the residents can't find a place to live because everything has been bought up or is being used only for, temporary Airbnb. I actually know several people work in town that are living in Airbnbs because they can't find rentals. It's a major issue. And what, you know, drives that property value up, and it makes it a more lucrative investment for bigger corporations. So you have what started out as a really cool idea, this Airbnb, you know, a way to make some money renting your own home. Specifically, it kind of reminds me of, you remember the old, you know, you swap apartments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a Maeve Binchy about that. Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, I think maybe it started out with this great intention, and I'm not trying to knock them at all, but it has become a life of its own. And then it's not only ruining the towns, but like you said, your experience as a tourist, because you're not getting an authentic experience now. You're getting people who, you know, other tourists that are there, and then
I came across a really interesting article about Airbnb in New York City. And one of the things they've done, which I think you'll see more of this, because this is that going back to that, finding that balance. You can't stay in a place less than 30 days. Mm-hmm. So there was the article was about these people who rented an Airbnb. The Airbnb owner told them, you got to be on the down low. But when the neighbors realized, they called the police and they got kicked out and they had to get refunded and they had to find a hotel. And then the hotels were ridiculously expensive because it was very last minute. And so it's just, if I was going to rent a place and the owner was telling me I had to lie about it, mm-hmm. that's a pretty big red flag right there.
Yeah. Well, and so, yeah, we can just tell you right now, New York City, Airbnb is not a thing. Like, don't use the Airbnb in New York City because it's basically against the law. It's not really, but real estate, in New York City is just, you've got co-ops and you've got rent protection and all this stuff. So there's just so many layers to that. So if you're thinking about an Airbnb in New York, you probably want to rethink it because it probably isn't actually a thing. It either doesn't exist or
what can we do to make sure that this isn't happening as people that are trying to go to a place? What can we do as consumers?
I think you should stay in a place that is advertised as housing for tourists. You can stay in cheaper hotels or whatever if you're looking to save money, or bed and breakfast or something. But there's, when they're regulated and they're paying taxes and they're doing their due diligence to follow the rules, that holds a lot of weight with me. Mm-hmm. We go back to Uber, and I use Uber, but I also use cabs too. I still use taxis, and I know that I've heard stories of taxi drivers beating up Uber drivers in Paris because there's so many regulations that the Uber drivers didn't have to do. So now that's starting to change, and I think it'll come around. But Amsterdam is another one. Like, I was reading an article about how they don't even really advertise for tourism because they get so overrun with tourists. And then you don't have, you end up with all these like bicycle rentals and places, like there's no more local grocery shops anymore. It's all just, things that cater just to tourists. And so it kind of takes away from the place. So,
well, backing up a little bit to Donna's question, I think we also, we can't really say Airbnb is evil, but I do think that being responsible would mean maybe using the Airbnbs that are a room in someone's house, using it for its intended purpose, which is basically couch surfing. But it could be a bedroom, it could be a guest house, whatever, what have you.
Yeah, exactly.
In those cases, you are actually, still living like a local because the local is still living there. So you're able to supplement their income and you get the experience of living in a home. If you really want to live like a local, I think a lot of people want it because they want to pretend they live there, but it's not so much about living like a local. It's living the way I live while I'm on vacation. So, I've used Airbnb twice. Once was in this very small suburb and I needed a location very within walking distance of a theater to see a friend of mine. And it was somebody's guest house behind their house. So they were living in the house and then they just had this guest house that they could rent out if they needed to. And then the second time was in Colorado. With the sports team, and there were 9 of us that we needed to put in one place, and we wanted a kitchen. And so, but in that case, that is a house that also that person lives in. She just travels a lot, so when she travels, she puts her availability, her house up. So,
one of the things though is that you'll infrequently—I don't want to say never, but infrequently—travel agents will not book there because it's not regulated in a lot of cities.
I don't know any travel agents who will book there. That may be changing, but if they do book there, they're doing it for a service fee because it doesn't pay them to do it. And most professionals I know steer clear of it because there are the horror stories of we got there and it was roach infested and
the name was called
There's no going to the front desk and having them move you to another room. There's really only so much.
And there's supposedly, I've never stayed in an Airbnb, but there's supposedly ratings on there about, there's good feedback given to people and you can only pick them. And a friend of mine and her husband wanted to come to the State Fair in Raleigh, and they picked apparently one of the highest rated places. And they got there and opened the door, and there was a crib mattress on the floor, and it was empty besides that.
Wow.
So, my family lives in Asheville, North Carolina, and the way that Asheville has regulated this, some is exactly what you're saying, Elizabeth, is that you can't have an Airbnb in Asheville unless you live there. Mm-hmm. You own it, you live there.
And so, and what New York City has done is basically they've turned it into a sublet. You know, if you're going to stay for 30 days, then you're basically subletting. That's like a, and that's a normal legal thing that happens. So that's how, yeah, that's exactly the way a lot of these towns are reworking it. Now, it's sometimes going to stay in an Airbnb in a town that isn't a tourist town. Like if you want to go visit your, you know, your cousin in Paducah, then using an Airbnb probably is just as responsible as using a hotel. You know, in that case, you're not really affecting, it's not a tourism center, so you're not going to change the face of the town by doing that.
Right. Well, and another thing that, Donna, that you were asking, you know, is, you know, what can we do about it? And one of the things that, you know, that I've found out, and that, you know, because I'm one of the newer travel agents in the group, is that there are resources that we have where we can sometimes book houses or that type of set, where we can find a set. If you need someplace to cook or you want families to be together, there are ways that we can help you find that type. There are, you know, there's that possibility. And people may not know that travel agents have that kind of resource. You know, they may think that it's only, we only have the resources of the big name hotels or the big name all inclusives, but there are other kinds of resources that we do have some access to.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on to another topic, what are some of the other things that we can do besides accommodations to really help the community?
I'd say buy local.
Yeah.
That's don't eat at a chain restaurant while you're there.
Yeah. Support the locals. I think it's pretty cool to try to learn a little bit of the language, you know, be able to say a few words to, you know, kind of fit in a little more. I think that shows respect for where you're visiting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Unless we're in Paris.
Yeah. Why? Well,
I will say some Parisians do appreciate it. Others don't, but some do. So just depends on how lucky you're feeling when you try.
It depends on how much your Southern accent comes through.
Yes. Well, it also depends on whether they work. Like the lady who's selling tickets at the Eiffel Tower, she is not amused by your French. She does not care to hear it. But you know, the guy walking down the street or, you know, who doesn't deal with tourists on a minute by minute basis is probably a lot more friendly about it.
So. There's also a lot of cool tour companies that specifically look to have excursions and experiences that are more local and centric. Like Adventures by Disney really does this. G Adventures does this too. But like, for example, I can't remember which one, if it's G Adventures or Adventures by Disney, but like in Cambodia, they'll go out to like a local rice farmer and they'll, like that family will teach you how to make a meal, you know? So you're actually, you're giving back to the community. You're not just giving back to that restaurant in the hotel, you know, where those people are not necessarily making the money. You're giving it to a family that's actually working, you know, and not there. So it kind of spreads the tourism dollars around a little more.
And it's not just about your dollars either. When I did the Adventures by Disney in Costa Rica, they brought in people of a native tribe to speak to us and perform for us. And they spoke their native language. We had a translator there. Mm-hmm. And there's only like 300 of them left. So we also were getting to experience some like living history, if you will. And now I can come back home and I've had that experience and I've now heard of these people. I mean, these are people that you probably, this is a culture you wouldn't have even heard about. But so it's not just always, a lot of these tour companies will not just find ways for you to spend your dollar locally, they'll also find ways for you to connect locally and help, as Sandy was saying, the actual community. Lindsay, you did a little bit of that in the Dominican Republic, right?
I did that in the Dominican Republic. We got to actually go out and work with some nonprofit organizations on the ground and Edie and got to go volunteer at a cacao women's chocolate co-op and went to Ripel, a recycling place. And it was an amazing experience, not only because we were doing something to help, but we were also learning so much about, I had no idea that, that you know, before they started the women's chocolate co-op there, that the bigger name companies were coming in and basically taking that resource out of the area, and none of the profit was staying there. And now that this co-op is there, they're able to have jobs in their area, and they're able to turn that natural resource into income for themselves and their families, which is amazing. So yeah, there's lots of great companies that still offer that. That was with Fathom, and they are sadly no more, but their excursions are still available at Amber Cove through Carnival. So while you're on your next Carnival cruise, if you want to do something pretty incredible and actually get out and meet with locals, I mean, you can go help teach English. And in teaching English, you're really just speaking it with a local so they get the actual dialect of of the English language. Or you can go help put concrete floors in or do a bunch of other wonderful things. And I kind of did a little bit of the cultural portion of that too in Cuba. We kind of got out and went to see a lot of musical performances and theater groups, and that was really amazing. And to get out and when I did spend money with people instead of at the government-owned stores, which was which is always how I advocate. Go to the mom and pop restaurants when you travel. Go pay the street artist.
Eat off the food truck.
Yeah, eat off the food truck. It's only scary the first time.
not just a street artist, but you know, it's a great way to get to know a town is to look and see. You know, everybody's got Chamber of Commerce or look for Facebook groups about that town. Everyone's got local musicians and local theater groups and. There's no better way to, number one, support the arts and to support it locally, you know, to support the arts in another town than to do that. The other thing is that if this is something that people are really interested in, I think you'd be surprised at some of the places where we have the resources to help you do that. You know, even some place like some of the beaches and sandals, which are known for being, you know, really nice all-inclusives, they have opportunities for you to go to bring books down and go and read to school children through a charity that they support. So, or even to go if you're, I just got done putting together a two-week trip for folks in Italy, and they had an interest in culinary and cooking, and one of the nights in Florence, they're going to be in a local home in Florence, they only took up to 10 people, but, you know, they'll be being cooked for by a local Florentine woman and have a 4-course dinner. So there's all kinds of, you know, if you're interested in that and really experiencing the culture, I think it's something you can once again, we've got resources that may not be readily available to other folks. You may not want to make that your whole vacation. But even if it's a small part of it, it's a great opportunity.
I saw one, a shore excursion that Shore Trips does that was working at a local animal shelter.
Yep.
And you can go and walk the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yep. So if you're not a people person, then you're probably a dog person. Yeah, yeah, there's opportunities for you.
So, usually how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
So I have one really simple thing, and this is a shameless, selfish plug as somebody who lives in a major tourist destination, and we are right now in our beautiful summer sunshine season, which also happens to be our ferry traffic season, is when you are traveling to some place where there are a lot of people living in that area, no matter how wonderful it may seem to have a rental car, always really take a second look at that. How great is the public transportation? Can it get you where you need to go? Because if you can utilize the public transportation, you're going to make a less of impact on that person who is trying to get back and forth to work while you are on your vacation. And you're going to have generally, I think, a better reception from the locals when you're not clogging up their freeways and their ferry lines unnecessarily.
And you'll see more.
Yeah.
They're not bad. Most major cities, they have great transportation, great trains and buses and all because they have to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And honestly, in those major cities, you don't want to drive anyway. I mean, if somebody tells me that they want to do a self-drive around Scotland, they don't have the car when they're in Edinburgh when I plan the trip. You go into Edinburgh, you do Edinburgh, and then you go to the airport, pick up your rental car, and then you go. Mm-hmm. You don't need the rental car in Edinburgh. There's no point in that. And all it's going to do is frustrate you and probably cause you to have to purchase a rear view mirror or two because that's the most common thing to happen on the British Isles with rental cars is because people aren't used to looking the right way, they snap off the rear view mirrors. Yeah. So there's really, it's all parallel parking. And, you know, just don't frustrate yourself that way. It's, you can still have the car for when you go out to the countryside where it won't be such a burden. You won't have to worry about parking and that sort of thing. So, and that's really, I mean, that's a little bit of responsible travel because you're also leaving a smaller carbon footprint, but it's also just smart travel. It's just, you will be happier.
Don't drive if you don't have to.
Yeah, I understand the call of the open road, but only do that when there is open road. Don't do that in the city.
I have to imagine all the time that you waste trying to force parking. I mean, yeah, there are some very small towns on this island, and when tourists come in, and there's nowhere for anybody to park. So they're driving around in circles and circles, and, you know, it just, it kind of, you don't want to spend your day doing that. You want to spend your time, you know, wisely. And
that happened to us in Pittsburgh when we were going to the Andy Warhol Museum. There was a baseball game downtown that day, and the guy at the parking lot for the museum didn't believe us that we were actually going to the museum and not the ball game. He almost didn't let us park. And then we were going to go get lunch, and I'm like, I think he needs to see us go straight into the museum.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So, yeah. And you could have used public transportation for that, couldn't you?
Well, not from as far away as my aunt lives, but right, sometimes we park like on the other side of the river and we take the ferry to the games and stuff. It's pretty cool. Yeah, there's trains. There's a lot of good public transportation there.
Okay, well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook. Or just search for Fly Away and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel. And we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!